that seems to be coming through as a little metallic. And that happened in the beginning, and I went back to it, and it's still there. So unfortunately for me, that sharp acidity, or as I describe it, that metallic taste is overpowering some of the other flavors in that flavor profile. And so I'm having a hard time finding, you know, the melon and the honeydew. And I wished it were there because I thought the nose was so lovely. The finish is fine. It's a little short, but that's how I found this wine.
I think your genetics are such that you're missing an enzyme, and therefore
it's not
you're
the only thing
the,
I'm missing, Maury.
Yeah,
the metallic.
Because we've been saying that for years. I mean, like, that poor woman's missing a few brain cells.
but honestly, I didn't get the metallic at all. I've gone back to it after you mentioned that. I didn't even think the acidity was sharp. I thought it had a nice balanced amount of acidity. It was not nearly as tart as some
other
things.
Very, very rounded.
Yeah. I thought it had a beautiful amount of oak. It had just the right amount of oak. It was not an oak bomb, and yet the oak was not absent. I felt like the oak was a little bit absent in the earlier Chardonnay. In this one, the oak's there, but it's not overpowering. It's balanced. It adds a hint of earthiness. I thought it was a beautifully made wine. I thought the finish was medium. It was mouth coating. It was definitely creamy like they were shooting for. I thought it was delicious, in sharp contrast to their other. Now, Mère Soleil makes another Chardonnay that is completely unoaked. I believe they call it the silver, and it comes in a ceramic, a gray ceramic bottle. And that drinks more like a Sauv Blanc. It's very stainless steely, almost a little bit metallic. Whereas this one, for me, really hits all the boxes.
But I think the studies show that women, in particular, can find the metallic and petroleum flavors in wines and come out. And unfortunately, for some women, myself included, just might not be a really good person to rate some wines that flavor comes through for
us. It's like the people with the cilantro taste bitter. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why I was kidding, but you really, I think, something in your palate is picking that up and magnifying.
Well, everybody's body chemistry is different. And and tomorrow you may not taste that, so you never know.
Right.
What'd you think, Justin?
I got the stainless steel magnets when I was a kid. That taste.
So you used to lick those then?
Yeah, I did used to lick those.
Any particular reason why?
I don't know. They look really cool.
Look at him. Just look at him. I mean.
And lemon oil. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I like.
Licking magnets. We'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation, riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. On the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
All right, so we're back after hearing Justin talk about licking magnets. So,
good memories.
You were waiting for the opportune moment.
I think that's a little foreshadowing for the title of this episode.
Yeah,
I have a feeling.
So we're going to be rating the Mère Soleil 2020 Reserve Chardonnay, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
And we're going to have Justin tell us about our next one.
Well, now we're going to talk about CSUN 2020 California Pinot Noir. Let's see what child memories this evokes. Grapes for this release were grown in Monterey and San Benito counties, aged in a combination of new and neutral French oak, and it's 14.4% alcohol by volume. And if you drink a lot of wine, you're going to slur your words too. Each region where the grapes are grown for CSUN Pinot Noir contributes subtly different qualities to the wine. The sourcing location of grapes shift from vintage to vintage, and it is this flexibility that enables them to adjust to create the best possible wine in a given year. Maury, what did you think?
Well, I thought this was a really interesting wine. I love the color on it. The color was dark and deep, really kind of a dark cherry color for me. On the nose, I got lots of cherry, some toasted wood, some earthiness, clove. Somebody talked about a hint of s'mores. I honestly didn't get the s'mores, but everything else I thought was beautiful. Cedar, leather, beautiful palate, or nose rather, excuse me. And on the palate, lots of cherries, raspberries. And then on the back end, you get some pepper, leather, tobacco. I thought it was really interesting, much more full-bodied than the previous Pinot that we drank, much more my style of Pinot. And I thought the finish was long. So all in all, a wine I'm not familiar with prior to today, but really in my wheelhouse. I thought it drinks beautifully. And honestly, if you were to take the price into account, it's a winner. I mean, it's...
I was going to say, did you see the price?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Yeah,
I mean, you're talking about a $20-ish bottle of wine that's easily competes with $40 and $50 Pinots. Now, you don't always have to spend a lot on Pinots, and they're not traditionally as high as cabs, but for an entry level, and a lot of people, a lot of Americans are stuck on, you know, $20 is their sweet spot. Yeah. I think this nails it for a Pinot in that price range. I don't think you could do any better.
It's the Wagner family. They generally don't put out bad wine, you know, so it's true. Always, there's always going to be something good there.
And occasionally there's going to be someone that doesn't fit everyone's flavor profile. And case in point, I wasn't a fan of the Waypoint, but this wine really, I think, checks all the boxes. And when you factor in the very reasonable price point, I think it's a winner.
Well, Waypoint's not them, but yeah.
No, I know. Yeah. But in comparison, this is a winner.
Right. Well, I spoke about the previous Pinot, and apparently I described this Pinot as the Pinot that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. A little more full-bodied, a really nice mouthfeel, and a huge bowl of cherries on the nose for me. And that's just so fabulous. Yeah. I mean, it smells so nice. It's so inviting. And then it tastes great, you know. And I like the finish, too. I thought it had a medium finish, and I thought that the finish lingered.
Yeah.
And that's always nice. Yeah. I hate when it just disappears so quickly.
No, I give it a long finish because exactly, it really lingers.
I really like that.
Yeah, for your average California Pinot, this has got a pretty long finish. I mean, most Pinots are, especially the fruity style ones, don't last very long.
Now, in fairness, I think we all ran this through the Venturi, and I'll have to get some air, and I generally believe that Pinots benefit from air more than most, so I'd like to decant my Pinots or Venturi them, even when they're not super expensive. And this particular one, although I didn't try it straight from the bottle, I went straight for the Venturi, and it was drinking beautifully from the minute I put it in the glass.
It's unusual for you. Usually, you just drink out of the bottle.
Well, that's true.
There's probably no magnets in this, right, Justin?
No magnets. But I would pair this with a Connecticut wrapper cigar for you cigar smokers out there.
I was thinking you were chewing on a wooden pencil and then lead, because it's got a little graphite in this.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I've ingested a lot of lead. Isn't it obvious, Doc?
Yeah, it's obvious.
Eating those paint chips when he was a kid, you can tell. I think his mom was eating the paint chips too. So,
I mean, but I was really expecting a comment about eating licking pencils, because this does have a little hint of graphite.
Well,
in
it. He was born learning how
it
to play the banjo with his feet.
Pencil,
so,
but I didn't taste the pencil.
And does that fall under the pica condition?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you just lick it and don't ingest it. I'm not sure it's still pica.
Okay.
What's pica?
Oh,
never mind. It'll take too long to explain to you.
Tend to
eat stuff, inanimate objects.
Yeah, sand and rocks and
cool. Yeah.
Pica is the condition.
But, yeah, a beautiful Pinot, absolutely beautiful Pinot. I haven't had one since we were at Camus last January, and I remember sitting in that beautiful yard and drinking it, and going, "Wow, this is really good." Just cherries on the nose.
Oh, the nose is so great on this wine. Mm. So great.
And I'm with you. This is more my style. I'm not the lighter, fruitier kind of Pinot. This is more leaning towards me. So a great wine, a great effort from the folks over at the Wagner family of wines. So we're going to be rating the CSUN 2020 California Pinot, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So we're going to go on to our next wine, and we're going to have Denise tell us about that one.
Oh, okay. That sounds great. Well, our next wine is Conundrum 2020 California Red Blend. I like blends. It's a blend of Zinfandel, Petit Sirah, and Cabernet Sauvignon. What could be bad about this wine? It's got an ABV of 14.6%. Charlie Wagner Sr., who co-founded Camus Vineyards in 1972 with his wife, Lorna, and son, Chuck, would regularly mix different wines at the dinner table to find the perfect glass to pair with his meal. Blending was not very common in California at the time, so his experimentation was ahead of its time. Fast forward to 1989, when Conundrum White was born, followed in 2011 by Conundrum Red. Today, it's Charlie's grandson, Charlie Wagner II, who keeps Conundrum as original as ever. So, that description makes this wine very interesting right out of the gate. Doing the same as Bob. It has, for me, on the nose, it has this beautiful, earthy, just as they describe it here, this semi-sweet baking chocolate. I'm not sure that I get a lot of nectarine in this,
as they describe it,
but definitely like the plum, the backdrop of toasted oak aromas. It's got a lovely, lovely nose. When I first tried this wine, I'm going to try it again. Sorry about that. It was a little on the sweet side. That has mellowed. It's not as sweet, but I still get a little hint of sweetness with that chocolate, which I think is fabulous. I mean, it's like a chocolate cake. It's delicious. It's full-bodied. It's got a lovely mouthfeel. It's got a nice lingering finish. Overall, I'm a big fan of this wine. I mean, I could think of so many things that I would pair with this wine or just drink a bottle of it without anything.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Conundrum and the White preceded it by 20 years, was known to be kind of a sweet wine, almost desserty.
Really?
Very light and lively. And I was expecting this to be sort of sweet and fruity. And I must admit, I haven't had this wine in a long time. And
that, well, if it makes you feel better, we think of you as sweet and fruity.
Thank you. This wine is a lot less well known than the Conundrum White, which they ultimately spun off into its own winery and label. But I agree with you, Denise. I think all the things you mentioned. I mean, it's really chocolate cake with even a little coconut shavings. It's like a what do you call it? Like a Black Forest cake or
something like that.
German chocolate cake. Yeah. Thank you. I was thinking German chocolate.
Yeah, because you get that toasty.
Oh yeah, it's happy hour around
here.
Man.
Right. Yeah.
But it's decidedly better than when I first poured it. When I first poured it, it was a little closed right out of the bottle.
I underrated it.
And I underrated it too.
Now I have to change that rating.
I know. I thought it was just okay. But over the last hour that it sat in the glass. I got I've improved my thought on it, my rating, and I've enjoyed it more. Again, really unique. I'm not sure what kind of food I'd pair this with, but I found it very enjoyable.
I was going to say I'd pretty much pair it with chips. I don't care what food I put with it. I think Denise's
description was spot on, though. You know, maybe a little nutmeg and clove, but really that German chocolate cake with the coconut and the chocolate and the cassis really kind of comes through. I thought it was fantastic. And again, I know we don't like to spend a lot of time talking about money and price, but for the price, you're talking about a 20-something dollar bottle. It's hard to beat.
Yeah.
It's hard to get something better at this price point. Right.
Well, Justin, again, that's Camus. Camus is always value for money for me. I mean, it always has been.
Except for their flagships are
yeah, that's the only one that's really elevated in price. But even that, considering what it is, I mean, wine of the year two times, it's still affordable.
Right, right.
I'd pair it with Ghirardelli chocolate brownies all day.
Mm.
Not those special brownies.
No, not those.
Okay.
That's another California episode.
Yeah, I was going to say that's, it's Justin visits the dispensary. So.
Episode.
Yeah. Don't tempt me.
Yeah.
Well, that falls under the category of smokes. We are sip suds and smokes. Maybe we need to do a
smokes
episode.
I book my flight while we're talking.
I'm in. Yeah, this is really just a wonderful glass of wine for the money. It's just so well done. The chocolate. There's I get dark chocolate. I get like wet stones on the nose.
I think this falls under the category of anybody can make a great $100 bottle, but to make a great bottle at a reasonable price is a find and a rarity. Yeah. And
well, remember when you first got into wine, how many years ago? You know, you would go out and you would grab, you know, Robert Parker or Wine Spectator, and you would run to the store looking for that one that was rated 95, because that's the one you... Yep. Then once you developed your palate, you threw all that stuff away. And then you knew if I threw money at it, I could find that 95 bottle. But finding that 89 or 90 bottle that's $20 or the 88 bottle that's 15 is more exciting to you than spending $1,000 on a $96 bottle. I mean, sure, it's going to taste great, but it's like you're Mel Fisher finding the damn pirate ship and finding the Spanish gold. When you can find that wine that drinks, a, you know, one or two levels above its price point, that's what gets me excited in wine.
100%.
And this wine is available? I mean...
Yeah,
widely available.
Widely available. Yeah. I mean, this is your dinner party wine. So you have, you know... different characters coming over.
Oh no, you're gonna drink a lot of wine. I don't pour that when you guys come over. No, yeah.
You don't want to spend $100 a bottle because you're gonna, you know, pull out 6, 8, 10 bottles. You pull this out, I think everybody at your dinner party is going to be happy.
Everybody can,
whether
find
they're light Pinot drinkers,
yeah,
they could be cab drinkers. I think everybody could be really happy with this wine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good find. Not a huge full-bodied cab,
no,
by any stretch, but. It
but I'm a cab drinker, and I would drink
it,
this.
It has appeal to cab drinkers. But mm-hmm. I want to point out that I take a slight correction with what Bob says, and that is I don't think of Camus as a bargain brand making mass-produced, low-price wines.
Not this, but the others that they have. And again, not bargain wines, not cheap or anything. I mean, but
I just
really
want to clarify that.
Well-made
for the wine.
For the money.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, most of their wines.
And fairly priced.
All hit above their price point.
Correct. So, and I think that's the thing to look for in wine. Yeah. Wines that hit and drink above the price point.
You get much more value for your dollar with them than you do a lot of people. So
I'll agree with you. A lot of people, you're paying for the name. You're paying for the label. You're paying for the packaging. Like today's of Absolute, we like that it's in the bottle, not in the packaging.
All right, well, we're going to be rating the Conundrum 2020 California Red Blend a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
And that brings us to our last wine, which is the Camus Special Select Napa Valley Cabernet 2017, 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, 15.4% ABV. And before we go forward with this wine, the one thing I did want to point out and talk about is how amazing the Wagner family has been to a charity that I work for that is very near and dear to my heart, which is Honor Flight. We were fortunate to make contact with the Wagner family, one of our people down here. And once they heard about what we were doing and raising funds to fly our surviving World War II, Korean, and Vietnam veterans to Washington, D.C. to see the memorials of their service, he didn't even blink, and he said, how about I send you 500 bottles of Special Select? We'll put a special label on it. So if you see this episode, if you listen to this episode online, you can see the pictures. They have a special bottle. You cannot buy this bottle. You can only get it if you go to one of our fundraising dinners with four of our World War II veterans' pictures on it. The only thing on it that says Camus is a little strip at the bottom. They basically gave the veterans the whole label. And these are provided to us for these dinners 100% free. So we've been able to raise well over $100,000 so far to fly these heroes up to Washington, D.C. So amazing family.
It's a beautiful bottle.
But
really beautiful.
The wine, plums, a little bit of licorice on it. Just dark, dark concentrated fruit. And on the palate, blackberries and blueberries and plums and fruit. This one never disappoints. What do you think, Denise?
I agree. Everything that you said, you get the licorice. I get this foresty, woody note on the nose. It's got blueberries and sweet cherries for me. It's got a great mouthfeel. It's full-bodied. It's delicious. It's got a nice, long, lingering finish. Love it.
But I would say that this wine also has improved dramatically in the glass. It went from 10 to 11 in the glass over the last 45 minutes.
These go to 11.
Everything you've said, and it's just fantastic. It's a perennial favorite. I've tried to acquire it almost every year, and It's a wonderful wine you can always pull out and people will be impressed.
Yeah, you can't beat it. I mean, great wine. Well, we're going to be rating the Camus Special Select Napa Valley Cabernet Sauvignon 2017, a well-deserved five sips. And again, a huge, huge, huge thank you to the Wagner family for their incredible generosity in helping us honor our surviving World War II Korean Vietnam veterans and helping out the cause of honor flight. So, well, that's all the time we have today. I want to thank our co-hosts for joining today. Thank you, Denise.
Thank you. Wow, delicious.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another spectacular morning in the basement.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you for an amazing day in the wine cave.
The wine cave.
Well, for Sips, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob reminding you life is too short to drink bad wine, and fortunately, we didn't have to do that today.
Nope.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I look at this bottle, I see two of the veterans that aren't with us anymore. It breaks my heart.
That's heartbreaking.
We'll I miss post Julie. That on but picture of that bottle on Facebook before
they were
the
kind enough to
that.
Host. They hosted several of our veterans at a dinner at the winery. So,
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap it in the subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy, tap-tap-tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
host.
Can you host?
I can host.
Can you host?
I can host.
Can you host?
I need to travel.
Are you looking for a bondage fantasy, my dear? Are you looking for a bondage fantasy, my dear?